need to let you go, however, because I have a super guest just walked into the talk studio that we've been advertising this program. Warren Meyer is with us. He's the head of Recreation Resource Management. Warren has become a friend of mine, and we've talked about privatizing parks. What this guy does, folks, is that he runs public parks privately. He already does this. And now that Arizona is in trouble with our parks, he has a proposal for our lawmakers and our governor. He says he can save the government money if they'll hear his proposal. Now, there are 13 state parks that look like they're on the chopping block. It looks like we are going to be losing these parks. So I thought it would be apropos to bring Warren Meyer, who runs a business called Recreation Resource Management. He already runs parks all through the through many, many states, not just here in Arizona, to give us some insight about why we don't have to close some of our state parks and his proposal to state lawmakers and our governor. Warren, welcome to the program.
Hi, Terry. Thanks for having me.
Nice to have you. All right. Well, our parks are in trouble. The state's broke. 13 parks are on the chopping block. You say it doesn't have to be that way. Let's just give an overview, because I know this is somewhat complicated, but just give an overview why what you already know in your own business could dovetail into saving our parks here in Arizona first.
Yeah, let's talk about the business first, then we can come back what other places do, and we come back to Arizona's situation. But I run with a number of authorities. The U.S. Forest Service, for example, has had private people running whole parks for years. National Park Service, California State Parks, Tennessee Valley Authority. So there's a number of government entities already that, for budget reasons and staffing reasons and expertise reasons, have had private companies running parks. And we need to be careful, because I'm going to use the word concession. And most of Arizona state parks have private concessions within them. They have a store, or they have a bicycle rental or a boat rental or a marina. In fact, I run two of those already. I run the store at Slide Rock State Park and the store at Patagonia Lake. But what we're talking about is broader than that. It's not just running a concession within the campground or within the park. It's running the whole park, soup to nuts, all the expenses, all the revenue collection, all the maintenance. And that's what we do, not in Arizona with the state parks, but we do it all over the country, including 20 or 30 or 40 parks in the U.S. Forest Service right here in Arizona. So for those who are listening who camped in Arizona, almost any Forest Service campground, you probably camped in one of the places I run.
Wow. All right. And so those of you that say, well, you know, he's going to take over the land, private company, and this is greedy and capitalism, let's start with that, because that's an objection right away. And I know our wonderful Arizona Republic already took a little, not to you personally, but took some stabs at this idea. Let's start to answer right away those people that say privatization, that's the greedy capitalist coming in wanting to take public land.
Well, firstly is I do want to make money, so that's why, but it's also the incentive that allows me to do a good, and all my folks to do a good job. What happens is it's actually not a takeover of the park. The government still retains full control of the park. They control conservation. They control fees. They control all kinds of things. What they do is they lease it to me, a lot like you might lease a storefront in the mall. And if you're going to lease a storefront in the mall, you can't do anything with you want it. If I walk into the Scottsdale Fashion Square, they're not going to let me have like a rundown equipment. They're not going to let me put any kind of sign out front. They're not going to let me just open at 10 and close at 2. They're not going to let me sell adult books. Mm-hmm. They're going to put all kinds of operating restrictions on me and on my hours and what I can sell and all kinds of things.
And that's in keeping with the fashion square.
Right. And so and it's very similar for parks. The parks, and in fact, much longer agreement. I sign 200-400 page operating agreements with all the controls on what the fees are going to be, what the bathroom cleaning frequency is going to be, what the standards are going to be. And so I can't change a fee. I can't build a building. I can't put a McDonald's up in front of Old Faithful, which I always get all the time. I can't.
7-Eleven?
And which I wouldn't, by the way, because the reason people come to parks is for nature, and I'm smart enough as a business person to want to make money. And the way to make money is to give people what they're coming for, which is a great natural experience.
So you would sell granola bars, but you wouldn't necessarily sell Slurpees.
Exactly. I mean, we do that all over. And one of the frustrating things is this is something that's very common in parts of the country, and it's very common in Arizona. We run the campgrounds for the Forest Service all up and down Oak Creek Canyon, and if you've been to Crescent Moon Ranch or Grasshopper Point or Manzanita or any of the campgrounds around Flagstaff or Payson or on top of Mount Lemmon, you've probably been at a privately run public campground, a public park. This is a very common option. It's something I've done for years and years. My company's done for over 25 years, but it's something that is new for the particular entity that's Arizona State Parks, and something that we're, you know, trying to introduce here because I think we have a crisis that's where we can be useful.
All right. Now, so if you've done this for a long time, are you kind of a monopoly? Are you, or do you have a lot of competition? Are other private guys out there trying to say, well, let me put the granola bars in at Old Faithful?
There's a mix. I would say that most, what typically happens is a public authority who has never used a private company before will call in panic and they'll say, hey, the park is closed. I found you on the website. I heard about you through somebody I knew in public recreation. And I need to keep typically do is sign a 1 or 2 year negotiated contract. And then after the end of the 1 or 2 years, when they get an idea of what's going on, they get a feel for the private management, they will go out and take bids. And we're good at this. There are other people that do it. There are 3 or 4 other large companies and a number of small ones. And we usually have to compete for it. That's how we did it up. I think a lot of your listeners may have been up to the Wing Mountain Snow Play area. We actually were brought in by the Forest Service to try to organize that and to try to make it safer and provide better customer service. And we did that on a 1 or 2 year contract as we were getting started. And then this last year we bid on it against a number of other people, local people and larger companies. We won that bid, and now we have a 10-year contract to continue to develop that snow play area up near Flagstaff.
But isn't that, and I'm playing a little devil's advocate here, because I am a limited government kind of person, and I believe in free enterprise, and I believe in capitalism with compassion and not greedy capitalists, because that can get us in trouble too. But isn't that the way that the government is kind of saying, look, we really can't do it on our own, so let's take bids from the private sector?
Oh, exactly. I mean, that's what's going on. And really, it's about a division of labor that makes sense. The Forest Service has people that understand the trees and the horticulture and the resources and nature and the animals. Mm-hmm. You know, they're worried about pine beetles and invasive species and the health of the forest. And those things they do very well, and I wouldn't presume to get in the middle of their role for that. And they also take a very strong role to make sure that the forest is used the way the public and Congress has said it should be used. That's why they put very strict limits on my operations. Mm-hmm. But what they do say is, you know, maybe cleaning bathrooms and manning the gatehouse isn't what we're very good at. Maybe, mm-hmm. you know, using civil servants with retirement plans and master's degrees in horticulture aren't the right people to be cleaning bathrooms or collecting money at a gatehouse. Mm-hmm.
They know about bark beetles, and you know better about how to keep granola bars in the canteen.
And so it's not about taking over the park or usurping the government. It's about saying the government has a role in preservation and in the health of the natural wilderness and of setting the boundaries for what that resource can be used for. But as a private company, I can come in there. And what I do well is I serve customers very well, and I run a very efficient operation that uses the customer's money as efficiently as possible.
And so within the natural keeping and the cosmetic of the area.
Absolutely, because that's what – I mean, I run campgrounds all through Sedona. People do not come up to Sedona to see neon or McDonald's or Starbucks. They come up to Sedona to see red rocks and to hike the trails, and they want to see nature. And so, my incentive is to give them that. And you know, I know folks always think, well, you know, business people want to put all this, you know, build condos. Well, you know, it just doesn't – if one is I can't because I'm restricted. I mean, I wouldn't be allowed to do that.
That's an important point that our listeners need to hear. He can't because he's restricted.
I simply cannot build anything I want. I can't change the fees in ways I want. I've got to run it the way – with the strategy and the resources and the approach that the government wants it to run by, they give me a lot of leeway in terms of the operational approach. But I wouldn't do it anyway because, you know, last year we had a record year, and we had a record year because in a town economy, people still want to recreate. They can't afford to fly to Europe, but they can have a very low cost night in Sedona camping out. And it provides, and it's that low cost, high value, natural experience that people are coming from. And as a, you know, and that's where my business is buttered. And so, you know, the thought that's for some reason that I would corrupt that is just bizarre because it would be business suicide.
And
for
so
us.
You alluded to a little earlier that this would be new territory, if you will, Arizona. Has Arizona kicked on this idea before? But now that we're in economic trouble, they're welcoming your thoughts?
Yes, but there's a little bit of longer story, which I'd like to tell, if you don't mind.
All right. Well, it's 8:19 on News Talk 550 KFYI. It's a good time to take a break, and we'll come back. Warren Meyer is my guest. He runs public parks privately, and in so doing saves the government a lot of money, and he has a proposal to our lawmakers and to Governor Brewer to do the same here in Arizona. Quick break. If you'd like to weigh in or ask questions, the number is 602-260-KFYI. Comments, questions, thoughts, the lines are open. I'm Terry Gilbert on The Terry Gilbert Show, Saturday Night Edition.
Digging into the big stories that affect you. Hard-hitting, investigative talk radio. It's Terry Gilbert Live. On News Talk 550 KFYI, the Valley's talk station.
Are you one of these people that think that public parks should be run entirely by public servants? Or do you think that there's a role for privatization and those people that come from the private sector could run public parks? Right now, Arizona is looking at closing state parks because state parks are eating into our state savings. But my guest, Warren Meyer, here on the Terry Gilbert Show, has a company called Recreation Resource Management. He runs public parks privately. And in so doing, he saves government coffers a lot of money by doing it this way. He's here to explain his proposal, which we'll get to in a second, to lawmakers and our governor as to how he could help out the state. Now, Warren, before we went to break, I was asking you about Arizona being sort of new territory, because it sounded in the first segment that you don't do much within this state. And then you said Sedona, and right. I was a little confused about that. So you're already here working public parks here as a private citizen, but that this still would be fresh territory, the state would be?
Here's the way to think of it. There are four or five different major recreation authorities in the state, and they're all independent of each other.
Oh, okay.
The state of Arizona runs state parks. They've never done what we're talking about. The U.S. Forest Service also has land, and it runs campgrounds. U.S. Forest Service does use a lot of private people for their parks. The Bureau of Land Management runs the big RV parks along, like in Quartzsite and Yuma, that fill up this time of year with the snowbird RVers. They do use this kind of approach.
Mm.
The National Park Service uses sort of a hybrid of it. They have the hotel at Grand Canyon is operated privately, but the gatehouses and a lot of the maintenance is not. So there's a number of recreation providers, public recreation providers, in the state. And so when I'm saying that we're in the state with the U.S. Forest Service, but the issue now is trying to put this in front of Arizona State Parks, which hasn't taken this whole park privatization approach.
So when you reference, just to be clear, when you referenced Sedona, that would fall under
the U.S. Forest Service. The U.S. Forest Service has the U.S. Forest Service. This is something probably a lot of people don't know. The U.S. Forest Service is the largest recreation organization in the world, by far, not
in
even
the
close.
World.
In fact,
world.
You could add up two or three of the largest in the world, and it still is not larger than Forest Service. The Forest.
Wow.
We
wow.
talk about all these about the 20 or 30 Arizona state parks. The Forest Service has. My goodness, the Forest Service has probably 40. I run 40 or 50 alone in Arizona, and there's many more. So the Forest Service has many more all over the state, campgrounds and parks in some beautiful lands all through the state. So they're a huge recreation provider. And they went to this privatization approach long, long ago because they were really forced to. The Forest Service, the same thing that makes you surprised that they're a big recreation provider also means they don't. A lot of congressmen are surprised, and they don't tend to get their recreation budget appropriated very well. And so they've been forced to do this decades ago because they didn't have the appropriations to run these things themselves.
Okay, let's talk specifically about Arizona. Yesterday's cover, let's see, Thursday's, February 18th, cover the Arizona Republic. The total cost to close these 13 sites will cost $1.4 million this year. My eyes opened up at that, Warren, because it costs nearly a million five just to close 13 sites, and yet to operate them would be $3.6 million. So they're trying to sort of save the difference, but still, that's a lot of money, $1.4 million just to close them. You have proposed to our lawmakers, and if I got the number right, correct me if I'm wrong, Senate Bill 1349. The bill is sponsored by Senator Barbara Leff. It would allow the parks board to lease the parks to public or private, i.e., I would imagine you as a private entity, without going through normal procedures of procurement procedures. And this freedom could allow the parks to be leased quickly, thus saving the cost to close them, $1.4 million, and would save the cost to operate them, $3.6 million, because you, and maybe others, I suppose they would take it out to bid should this bill become law, you, as one entity, would come in and you would lease the park the way you might lease a storefront at a mall.
Right.
Let's elaborate on that for listeners.
The basic deal is, when I lease a park, I run it for profit, and you've got to, you know, some people are never going to be comfortable with that, but I run it, how I make my money is basically off the entry fees and camping fees. So if somebody shows up and say Lost Dutchman, which is closed now, which is the closest probably to Phoenix over at Apache Junction, they show up at the Lost Dutchman to camp, or they pay a fee at the gate for a day use. That means just a day visitation. I collect those fees and keep them, and those are my revenues. And then I pay all the expenses of the park out of those revenues. And out of those revenues, I also pay the state an agreed upon percentage of those revenues as their rent. And if I have any money left over, I make money. If I don't have money left over, I lose money, just like any other business. And, the advantage of that is that, unlike a lot of government contractors, I'm not a government contractor. I don't take money from the government. The government doesn't pay me a dime. I don't think I get a single check. I deal only with public
You're not a government employee.
I do not get a single check all year from the government. I get paid by visitors, and if those visitors are happy, they go up. If they're not happy, they don't come back.
In this lease now, Warren, and I've there's my music. Here's the question. You can think about it through the break. Would government employees be out, and it would just be you collecting gate fees and no monitors throughout the park? We need to talk about that, too, as well. As you explain here on the program, your proposal through the state lawmakers and through the governor. I'm Terry Gilbert. Quick break for news. Back with more about closing our state parks or not on The Terry Gilbert Show.
Terry Gilbert, the show for buyer's remorse.
Do you want our state parks to close, or do you think that if somebody comes in with a privatization proposal to have a lease management, we could keep some of our state parks open? I've gotten a lot of email on this, and Arizona Republic just 2 days ago, cover story, closing state parks comes with its own costs, and the costs to close state parks are eating into our state savings. Warren Meyer is a man who privately runs state parks and saves the government a lot of money. His company is Recreation Resource Management, and he's been talking on the Terry Gilbert Show now for a couple of segments on his proposal, what it means to privatize a park, what that really means, and his proposal, which would be part of Senate Bill 1349. Which includes going private and what that actually means. Now, Warren, before the break, I asked you, well, if you get your money from the public gate and the buying and the selling of, the granola bars, and the water bottles and all of that, that's how you earn your money. It would also mean that those state employees, those civil servants, would be out of a job. So who goes into the park itself and makes sure somebody hasn't fallen off the mountain or needs some extra water if they're dehydrated? Who does that?
Well, firstly,
how does that work?
A couple things. One is we do all that. I mean, we have I have areas like lakes where we do lake patrols for safety patrols. I have places where we're patrolling all evening, like in a rowdy or campground. We've had places with gang activity where our guys had to bring in outside security to get the gang activity under control. So all those things in terms of maintaining public safety, customer service, all those things are are what we do. Now, in a normal situation where you have folks from the state doing that, you know, it is, you know, people do lose their jobs. We're sort of that water sort of under the bridge here in Arizona.
In other words, the idea of trying to save any civil servant job, that day has passed.
Well, it seems. I mean, look, I don't work for Arizona State Parks, and I've only had a few short discussions with them on this. I sort of threw this proposal over the transom to them, but You know, my read on it is that they're dead serious in their process of laying people off and shutting these parks down. So we're past the point of talking about jobs, and we're now to the point about whether or not Arizonans will be able to use these parks or not. And I really sat back and read the Republic and was looking at the news and see all this play out, and I said, this is crazy. I mean, I'm a citizen of the state. We can keep these open. And this is what I do, and this is what other people
do. Can you keep all 13 sites open, your company?
I don't know. And here's the problem is, again, as I said, I threw this, what I'm working for it from is I have, their net revenue. So their revenue minus their expenses for Arizona State Parks. And I have that for all their parks for 2 years. And that's the only sort of information of any type. I haven't sat down and done the due diligence that I normally would do, you know, because when we're actually bidding, they open up all their books and they show utility costs.
You're not at that stage yet.
But what we have done is really, I felt like something was necessary to push the issue, that we couldn't just talk about privatization because people would just sort of yawn that off. I had to actually make a proposal. So what I did is I looked at those 13 and I found six. And those six, for folks who live here in Arizona, are Lost Dutchman, Tano Natural Bridge, Alamo, Roper Lake, Picacho Peak, and Red Rocks. And they're all, those are all over the state. Those are mid-sized parks. They're all slated for closure. And I said, I looked at those. I looked at their facilities. I looked at how much revenue they brought in. I compared them to equivalent facilities I run with the same amount of area, the same amount of visitation, the same number of campsites.
I see.
And I looked at the expenses of that versus the revenue that come in and said, I can run these six. And I can at least break even. I can probably make a profit. And I can pay the state at least 5% of the revenue. So I can take those six, which lost $700,000 last year, and I can turn them into, you know, a net revenue producer for the state, and I can keep them open for the public. And that's basically the proposal I threw over the transom to the parks in the governor's office several weeks ago.
Are they salivating?
This is difficult. Parks organizations traditionally, and I'm going to speak in general here because, Renee Ball, who I presented this to as head of Arizona State Parks, who I don't know well, has expressed herself open to anything. I really think that for most state parks, this is really the last thing they want to do. And mm-hmm. I know that the previous management of Arizona State Parks was on the record as being openly hostile to privatization. They've told me I saw them in public occasions making statements of sort of open hostility to it. But I think we're in a new regime here. They're closing the parks. They'd like to keep them open. And I think they've given me a hearing. And so,
and when will that be?
I've talked to the head of state parks, Renee Ball, once and presented this plan, and they've asked for, more details of the plan, which I've submitted. And then at the same time, I have, presented it to some folks in the governor's office. A woman named Mary Peters has actually been a big help. She was a former Bush cabinet secretary of transportation and has a real interest in privatization, and she's one of the co-heads of Governor Brewer's reelection campaign. And so she sat down and gave this a hearing, was pretty enthusiastic about it. And then Barbara Leff in the Senate has really latched onto it and given it a lot of support. And then Representative Kavanaugh is having me in to present to the House of Representatives on Wednesday the same proposal. So it's really all I could ask is what I've done, by the way, is I've, for those who are concerned that maybe I'm looking for some kind of sweetheart deal here, I'm not a lobbyist. I don't tend to lobby. I tend to wait till governments are desperate and calling for my help. What I've done here is I've made a proposal that I'll run these for 1 year. And the only purpose of that is to give them a year to figure out what they're doing, and because to put out bids usually takes about a year of a process. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give them, I propose to give them a year of breathing space, keep at least these six parks, and maybe with more information, keep more parks open, but keep some of the parks open for a year. Because when you close them, they just start degrading, and they're going to, I mean, that million four is to put up ugly fences around them and to shut things down and pull pumps. And so it's much better to keep them open. I'm sure the public would be happy to have their parks open, and that'll give state parks a year to either figure out another approach or to put out bids for long-term, you know, private contracts should the, you know,
all right, so let me get this straight. You give them a year, you keep it open with a lease management. You do all of the work because the employees are gone anyway, so right. You bring in your people.
Right.
You
can make
beyond your profit, you can make 5%, and you give them time. They buy a year to figure out if they'll keep you on, perhaps, after the year. This could also be a probation period for you. or set it out for another bid, another formal bidding process. And in the meantime, they save $1.4 million on all of the ugly fencing and so on to keep all of the people that aren't supposed to be in them out. Mm-hmm. And they also save the operating costs of $3.6 million. Sounds to me like they would salivate at this.
I think they're a little stunned because, as I understand it, some things happened in the state that in the legislative negotiations that they were sort of surprised that they ended up so empty-handed. So I think they're stunned and they're sort of scrambling and they've got a lot of proposals. Mm-hmm. So I think that's part of it. I won't speak for them. This is now a generic thing about state parks. But I participated in a very similar effort with the head of California State Parks, a woman named Ruth Coleman, who is very forward-thinking on this. And she had me do some conferences with her organization. And I will tell you, the pushback in that organization on this idea was tremendous. Basically, the public employees unions in California said, we would rather see parks closed than establish the precedent of private management. And so I don't know if...
Because they don't want to establish the precedent that private management or private ownership can do, and the free enterprise system can do things always better than big government. It's philosophical in nature, their pushback.
And we could talk about some of the issues. There's a great issue coming out of Utah. In Utah, a senator made the same proposal, and the head of state parks there said, well, you know, you can't have private people because they'll let everything run down, which is kind of funny because one of the things I always tell folks about public management is legislatures never appropriate enough what I call maintenance money, capital expenditures, to really refurbish things. And so I know one of the senior heads of Arizona State Parks actually carries a book, and he's got pictures of all the things that are falling apart in state parks because basically they haven't invested, you know, operating capital maintenance money. They haven't had it in their budget. It's not their fault. Haven't had it in their budget for 6 or 7 years. And one of the things I do is I've actually been working with California State Parks, and I've put over $2 million in capital as part of some of our concessions there to actually do this catch-up maintenance. The state's let them run down, and I've gone in there and as a private company put the money in to refurbish these parks in addition to operating them. Of course, that was on a longer than a one-year contract. I had to have 20 years to get my investment back. Mm-hmm. But there's just a lot of opportunity here. It's not right for every park. It's not going to solve every problem. State park still has to have people that manages me and looks over my shoulder and makes sure things are done the way the public wants it done. But I really think the state parks has an opportunity to keep parks open for the public and improve their operating position. I think it's a win-win and would love to see the state doing it.
Now, is there anybody that's competing with you, at least at this juncture, and maybe competing is too strong a word, but at least has the ear of Barbara Leff and others, since you mentioned certain lawmakers, the way that you are pushing the envelope a bit?
I don't know. I do know that there's a strong competitor of mine that I respect a lot that's based in Utah, and I know they've been doing something with the Utah government. Basically, there's so much of this going on around here that we're all just running in different directions.
And you're not the worst for wear. You will have work no matter what.
And we're all trying to pick up the pieces. I have no problem with competing. I mean, in fact, I told the Forest Service that, you know, that I didn't want to keep extending my contract without competition at Wing Mountain, that we wanted to compete it and get a long-term contract and didn't want to be subject to this sort of accusation that somehow it's a sweetheart deal. The state has asked me who my respected competitors are. I've told everyone who's asked.
The state knows the landscape there.
Objective here is because I'm not going to make money, probably not going to make money on a one-year contract. My objective here is to keep parks open in Arizona and, frankly, to establish the precedent, another example in this industry about, you know, the job we can do for the public, you know, in what we do in this parks management.
Warren, what do you think? And we got to get into this because so much is political anyway. And tell me what you think. To the extent that you can, I know you're going to want to be objective, but nonetheless, it's a political year. We got Jan Brewer. If she gets behind this, that, and if she gives the nod to you with all of the other jumping through hoops you have to do, it will help her politically, I would think. Let's talk about the political aspect of this.
Yeah, I think you know me well enough to know that I'm a poor political analyst. I don't do it very well, but I do think that the people in the state are upset about having their parks closed, and I think at this point, I think folks, if you look at these communities, especially the rural senators that are out near some of these rural parks, their entire economy is based around tourism of some of these parks.
Right.
I mean, it really
Absolutely.
Is. You got the guy that sells people ice. You got people that sells sells them gas. You got people in hotels that they stay overnight before they go to Slide Rock.
Right.
The town of Payson is really upset about having Tonto Natural Bridge closed, for example. Apache Junction is very upset about having Lost Dutchman closed.
Right, right.
And so I think there's a lot of groundswell, both in the public, but also among the rural senators and rural representatives, to keep these parks open, because there's a lot of business dependent on it as well.
Well, I would think. All right. Now, you just mentioned, for example, Lost Dutchman. You say it's closed. Would that be revived? Would it open again should you get the nod on this?
I've told them that they give me a contract, and anything they give me a contract for, we'd open in 3 weeks.
In 3 weeks.
I have most of my workforce, you got to understand, I have 500 employees in the summer, and they're all off in the winter. Most of them are RVers. A lot of them are retired. They have flexible lifestyles. But I've done this before. This time of year, I've got 400 people waiting to work, and then I have an email list of 13,000 people looking for work in this business. And many of them in the state and they live in an RV and would be here in a week. And so for those of us who know this business, because that's my expertise, who know this business, I've done it on numerous occasions. I've staffed very large parks very quickly. By the way, I mean, one of the things you should understand is, just give you a sense of scale, I'm actually larger in terms of the fee revenue I earn every year from my parks than Arizona State Parks. So that gives you some idea. I actually have more visitation and bring in more revenue at the gate and from a campgrounds than Arizona State Parks does across their whole system. So we're a pretty large company. We have a lot of resources we can bring to bear to get this thing going quickly. And I run 175 of these across the country. We have a process. We know what we're doing. We could just jump in and go.
All right, let's take another quick break. When we come back, I'm going to ask you how soon you would get an answer, because that could take another 3 weeks or longer. And I also want to ask you about something. A caller didn't want to come on the air, but he wanted to know about rest areas. And I, too, had a question about rest areas. In the editorial of the Arizona Republic under opinions, they talk about sponsors could also keep rest areas opened. Now, you're not a so-called sponsor, but they did refer to the rest areas and keeping those clean and so forth along our highways and byways. Warren Meyer is my special guest. We will take your emails and phone calls should you have them, 602-260-KFYI, Terry Gilbert at KFYI.com.
Get a jump start on Monday's headlines. Tonight, it's the Terry Gilbert Show, live on News Talk 550 KFYI, the Valley's talk station.
602-260-KFYI, if you want to get in. We only have a couple minutes to finish up with Warren Meyer. Warren, before the break, and this is on state parks and keeping them open. How long before you get a green light or not on your proposal to the state lawmakers?
Haven't a clue. And it's really not the lawmakers' decision. The governor's office and Arizona State Parks have to do it. All the lawmakers are doing is trying to give them the enabling legislation they need to have the authorities they need. But
so if a listener were to email Jan Brewer over and over and over again, she would finally say, okay, let's figure this out.
We'll take all the help you want to give us.
All right. Let's talk about rest areas for a little bit. Would rest areas come into play? I think that's a good question. It might be a complicated question, and I don't know it.
It's funny because Senator Leff asked me the same thing. We don't actually do them, but here was my thought, what I told her. I said, right now the Arizona State Parks are closing rest areas, and they actually have these little signs. It's really kind of embarrassing as a state resident to say, you can find a bathroom at the next exit. Some of the businesses there have agreed to let you use their bathroom 24 hours a day. Well, that should give you an idea. What if you had like Sunset Point where everybody drives there, there's nothing very close, and I told you that I would give you the Starbucks franchise on Sunset Point to sell Starbucks or maybe Subway or something like that if you would just clean the bathrooms and pick up the trash.
Uh-huh.
You'd say, absolutely. Not only would you say, I clean the bathrooms, pick up the trash, and I'd probably pay you for the ability to do that because it would be a gold mine.
A gold mine for me.
And so that's the real opportunity. It's not just sponsorships, but actually having concessions there. A lot of eastern highways have those, but they passed a law apparently in the United States that that states could no longer do that. But the Arizona legislature is getting pretty uppity lately and not really into the federal government sticking their nose in. So that may be one of the things they challenge soon.
All right, with these rest areas too, and we're just down to a 1 minute. I want to give you a short answer, and then I'll give you time to give me your final thought. What about the signage for a rest area? Does that fall under you, or would it be? Should you get this gig?
It could be. I mean, we could certainly do it. We know how to do it. It's not something we've done before.
Very good.
But it's certainly something we could do, and there's plenty of others that do that.
All right. 30 seconds, final thoughts, wrap it up, and then we'll say goodnight, and I'll be back on the program on the Terry Gilbert Morning Show this Monday at 5 a.m. Warren.
I guess the summary is I'm an Arizona resident that's just trying to keep parks open. And I looked the senators in the eye and said, look, if you give me the opportunity to keep some of these open, I'm going to make it work. I'm going to guarantee these things will get run.
Thanks for coming on the program. Warren Meyer, we appreciate it. And good luck to you. We'd like to see the parks stay open. I'll see you Monday morning at 5.